We're CJMQ, and today we have the honor of interviewing the band Mojave, that's spelled M-O-J-A-V-E, and they're a band from British Columbia. So welcome, Paul and LJ.
Hey.
Now, you both come from hard rock bands to begin with, and you've made this new band. So let's talk about that. Were you both interested in music when you were growing up?
Definitely. I think my mom said that I was singing before I was talking, so music is been a part of my life and I guess part of my family's life for as long as I can remember.
Okay.
Yeah. And I think it started a little later for me. I think I was more into music as I got to high school and picked up a guitar and went from there.
Okay. Now, LJ, you're originally from Ontario.
Yeah, actually, we both are.
Oh, you both are?
Yeah.
Okay, that's neat. Good. Now, you both come from bands. You were involved with bands that were kind of hard rock, Damselfly, and the other band was called Latitude. You were involved with hard rock bands. How did you go from that? Because Mojave, the band now, is more of an acoustic, a folk, kind of, it's a softer sound, I guess.
It was kind of a, I'm trying to think of the word, and it's totally escaping me. It just natural. It just sort of happened naturally. LJ and I would get together with the guitars on the beach by the ocean in Vancouver and just play music and then write music. And then from there, the song sort of formed and it sounded really good. It didn't sound like it needed to be put through the filter of metal or hard rock or anything like that. So we kept it kind of as is. So it was very natural progression from writing to the way the songs are. Basically, the way that we write the songs is usually how they end up sounding. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Now, the songs are basically your own experiences in life?
For the most part, we write what we know, and there's a couple songs that are just, purely for entertainment purposes, and I guess we both take a part in the writing now. It started out that I would do all the lyrics, and then just on this album, Paul's been writing more and more, and even for the next album that we're already planning, Paul's been writing a majority of the lyrics. So, we're in a band together, we go through a lot together, and we have similar experiences, and so we write about that from two different perspectives, and we find that makes a really interesting song because it's not just one person's perspective, it's two, and I think people respond to that too because it's a broader spectrum on, on what's happening. I think a lot of people, we've had a lot of people actually email us and say that a lot of the songs that we've written have gotten them through a certain time in their life or something that was really difficult. So I think that's what makes it worthwhile. When you hear things like that, it makes, all the difficult parts about, being an independent band all worth it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it certainly must be really great to receive some input, too, from the fans.
Yep. Like I said, it makes it all worthwhile.
Now, you've just put out your sophomore album, I believe that was in May, and we're lucky enough to have a copy here, so thanks again, Paul and LJ. Mojave, Crow's Funeral, and you also had another one before that, and that was Stories. So how do the two differ?
I think the first album was basically, we didn't actually intend on doing much with it other than recording it for the sake of us having a copy of the songs. And then, because we were both in other bands and we were both doing quite a bit with those bands, and then as time went on, once we recorded Stories, we figured, oh, let's play a few shows, so we did that. And then it turned into, oh, let's go on tour, let's play a lot of shows, and then the other bands kind of fell by the wayside. And then with Crow's Funeral, we approached it more from the perspective that we were recording this to put it, to release it, and to tour it, to promote the album and that sort of thing. So we recorded it with that in mind. And we also decided to go with a producer from Ontario. We recorded the album in Hamilton, Ontario. And we went with a producer that was very, he has a very organic feel and he likes to just kind of go with ideas and that sort of thing. And he wanted it to sound very like you were just, like we were in your living room playing the songs for you. So it's a very authentic sound, whereas there's a lot of, we've listened to a lot of albums in the last little while where they've been overproduced or that sort of thing. So we wanted to kind of take it back to old school and have it so it was all authentic. Some of the songs we did in one take and that sort of thing. So.
Okay, that's interesting. Now the producer is
Dan Aiken.
Okay, and a big name affiliated with the band City in Color and Feast. So those are two big names. So how did you end up getting this producer?
We we had actually intended to record the album in California,
mm-hmm.
and it didn't work out at sort of, you know, the 11th hour, and we decided to go with, you know, somebody else locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had we really liked the City and Color album, the last album,
mm-hmm.
and we got in touch with the person who did the mastering for that album. And he was planning on doing the mastering, and when we called him and we told him there was going to be a bit of a delay on the album because we had to look for a new producer, he actually suggested Dan. And so we contacted him and spoke over the phone and basically did everything. Obviously, we're in BC and he's in Ontario, and so we did the back and forth on the phone, got a good vibe and liked all of his work, and it was recorded in an old church, which it totally was perfect. It was exactly what we wanted, and it just sort of all fell together. And
that's really interesting, in an old church.
Yeah.
Wow. Independent bands. Okay, that's really neat. Now, one of the interesting aspects about your band is that you want to be with the green scene. So do you want to talk about that a bit?
Sure. I mean, basically, both LJ and I have been very passionate about the environment just in our personal lives before
mm-hmm.
Mojave. So when we got together as a band, it kind of makes logical sense that we would take some of those things and apply them to the band. So, I mean, there's a lot of bands that are out there doing green things, but a lot of them are major label bands, like Dave Matthews is one example,
mm-hmm.
and Jack Johnson, who do amazing things for the environment and environmental awareness. But they're big bands with huge record labels and stuff like that. So we've been focusing on what independent bands can do that doesn't cost $1 million to do. So we've been things like the CD that we have, that's all FSC paper and soy ink, and the it's not cellophane wrapped, it's wrapped in something made out of a potato sort of thing that's completely compostable, and that we also carbon offset all of our touring and that sort of thing. So it's basically what we feel personally that we just apply to the band, and it's so far been working quite well for us.
Excellent. Now, a lot of people can get your music, too, on iTunes digitally instead of... That's good for the environment, too, I guess?
Yeah. And our first CD, actually, we've only released digitally
mm-hmm.
for that reason.
Okay, great idea. Now, where can you get your CDs?
On our website,
mm-hmm.
Mojave.fm,
mm-hmm.
or by searching on iTunes or on Amazon or CD Baby.
Mm-hmm.
So, lots of places.
Okay.
Or at shows that we play.
That's great. Now, you're coming to Montreal the end of September, which is very exciting. Have you ever played in Montreal before?
I've actually played in Montreal, I think it was maybe 5 years ago, with one of the first bands that I was in Vancouver.
Mm-hmm.
And we're actually playing at the same venue, which is kind of funny.
Wow. Which venue is that?
It's called Grumpy's Bar.
Okay.
It's just off the main street, and it's a great little venue. So
mm-hmm.
I was packed last time, so we're hoping that... they'll be packed this time as well.
Oh, I'm sure it will be. You've done a lot of touring, too. You've been to California, and you've also been to Las Vegas, too?
Yeah, we've done... Actually, most of our tours have been in the U.S., mostly just due to geographic reasons.
Mm-hmm.
Towns are a little bit closer together. We've been finding it a bit of a struggle, you know, booking a Canadian tour and having towns so far apart. So
mm-hmm.
Just being in Vancouver and having Seattle just a couple hours away, and then Portland a couple hours after that, and... You know, San Francisco a couple hours after that, and then it just keeps going and going. We managed to book like almost the same amount of dates that we're doing in a month that we could do in 2 weeks going through the
mm-hmm.
U.S. So it'll be interesting to take a totally different approach to touring and going through Canada. But like I said, I think every Canadian band should tour Canada at least once,
mm-hmm.
and I'm sure it'll be just as great as touring the U.S. But yeah, we've toured the U.S. I think 3 times now, and we've played. The Whiskey a Go Go in Hollywood was a huge thing for me. I've always wanted to play there. Some of my favorite bands
mm-hmm.
Have played there. You know, Hendrix and Joplin and
mm-hmm.
Zeppelin. So that was a big thing for me. We played at the House of Blues in Vegas, and
mm-hmm.
it was a great time. We had a really good time on that last tour.
That sounds great. So some of these artists were an inspiration to you growing up?
Oh yeah, huge for me. Hendrix was, I think, one of the reasons I started playing.
Mm-hmm.
Guitar.
Okay, and for you, Paul?
Same. I mean, we both listen to a lot of older music from the 60s and 70s, just because it's just great, authentic music, and that's sort of that resonates quite a bit with us as well. So.
Mm-hmm. Great music. Now, the name of the band, Mojave, where did you get the name?
We got it from the Mojave Desert in California, surprisingly.
Okay.
Yeah, we spend so much time there. It's. I mean, for me personally, it's an amazing place. It's like no other place that I've ever been to in the world. It's pretty incredible. I know a lot of artists go down there for, you know, inspirational reasons, and the desert's just beautiful. So it was a perfect choice, I think, for a name.
Okay, great. And you have a lot of people that have trouble with a name, I guess, from your website.
So much so that Paul actually designed a T-shirt with the phonetical pronunciation.
I saw that. I love that. It's so cute. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. We have fun with it.
Yeah, that's great. Now, let's see, Crow's Funeral, the name of the album. Crow's Funeral, is it because you were kind of moving out of the hard rock scene and into the acoustic?
It's a little more obtuse than that.
We
got the name from the fact that crows have funerals for their deceased. They have very strong social structures and social bonds, and they partner for life. So that the mate will mourn the loss of its mate for quite a while, just to, as sort of showing people that animals have intelligence and have social structures as well, just to be a little more cognizant of that, because we're both vegetarian. Well, LJ's vegan, mm-hmm. and so we feel fairly strongly about animal rights as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, and we also it was a story that somebody told us once that. They found a dead crow in their alley, and that evening all a flock of crows came and all cawed, and then one cawed really loud, and then they all silently left, and then they would do this every day.
Mm-hmm.
And slowly the numbers dwindled down, and by the end of a couple months, it was just one crow always coming back, cawing a few times, and then leaving, which we assume was probably its mate. It was just a touching story, so we figured it's a great name for the album.
That is touching. I had no idea. Now, let's see. You donate part of your money to a charity, and one of them is a kind of a refuge for llamas?
Yeah, we have... We donate to them as much as we can, but we have this one llama that we donate to. Paul actually, as a gift one year, adopted me a llama named Starman.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've ended up, you know, becoming really good friends with the caretakers at the sanctuary, and we go down and visit as much as we can a few times, you know, maybe 3 to 4 times a year. It's a bit of a journey. There's like, you know, like 6-7 hour drive and a ferry, and but we try to get down to see him as much as possible. But we went down there and we just absolutely fell in love with the llamas there. They're just so incredibly cute. They have their own unique personalities, and it's really great to be donating directly to a cause that, you know, we're there, we see that, like, these people have full-time jobs and they still, you know, they're working on the farm, and it's just incredible what they do for these animals, and they're just so selfless. They just, you know, they just give back so much, so it was just nice to be able to help them out and help out these animals.
That's great. Good. Well, certainly a lot of animal lovers out there, including myself, so that's really wonderful. Your plans for the future, I know you're going to be playing in Montreal, and any other particular plans? Or?
Well, we've got this tour coming up, and we're leaving next week, and we're going to be gone for 4 weeks,
mm-hmm.
so we'll be going all the way across to as far as Montreal, and then all the way back. I think adding the East Coast would have been, you know, adding another few weeks onto the tour, so I think 4 weeks is, you know... I think that's what we're going to do this time, and it would be definitely great to go back, you know, go all the way across, but for now, 4 weeks is what we're going to do, and we're hoping next year to tour Europe.
Okay.
And we're already working on the next album. We've already got songs coming out, so we're just going to hopefully plan a time later next year and sit down and record them.
That's really exciting. You have a great album. I know right now we have On Rotation, California, Wake Up, and the title track, Crow's Funeral.
Great, thank you so much for all playing
great. And we intend to switch them around too, because I just, you know, I love your band. It's really great music.
Thank you very much.
Okay, you have a website. You're also on MySpace. Do you have a Facebook page too?
Yeah, if you search for the Mojave Group, I'm pretty sure we're the only one that isn't related to the desert.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be pretty easy to find. And I also use Twitter quite a bit, and it's at Mojave Band. Is me, and we talk about going on tour and animals and the environment and all sorts of other good things.
Okay, great. Any interesting stories from the places you played at already, or?
There's been lots. Usually, playing in new cities is always an interesting time because we don't know the venue until we show up there, and it's always full of that's part of the what's great about touring is you're always meeting new people. And one time we were playing in northern British Columbia, and after the show, we ended up going over to one of the people who was at the show house and having homemade bread, and he's a musician as well, and he had probably 10 or 12 instruments, and we jammed until 2 or 3 in the morning, so that was a really good time.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Now, the band is made up of you, Paul, and LJ, and there's another member too, Philly?
Yeah, she's a session player. We have quite a few session players that we use. The band is really just me and LJ, and then we have different players for different shows. So we sometimes have Philly, who plays violin, or a couple other violin players. Sometimes we have cello, mandolin, banjo. We've toured with a drummer before, Ben, who is awesome, and mandolin. Yeah, so we have lots of different players that we like to pull from to play shows with.
That sounds really interesting, and it keeps kind of evolving the music, too.
Definitely.
Yeah, it keeps it interesting for the crowds, too. So when we're playing, you know, in Vancouver, we do play a lot in Vancouver, so it's interesting for the audience as well to get a different take on the song, depending on the show that we're playing.
Okay, sounds great. Wonderful. Anything else you wanted to add before we go?
Come and check us out on tour. we're going across Canada, and we're going to be in Montreal on the 5th of September, so at Grumpy's Bar. So hopefully we can get some of your listeners out.
That's great. Good. Sounds great. Well, thank you very much.
No problem.
Thank you
so much.
Okay. All the best to you.
All right. Take care.
Bye.
CJMQ
88.9 FM, broadcasting out of Sherbrooke, Quebec. Next up, we'll hear a tune off Crow's Funeral by the Canadian band from British Columbia, Mojave. We'll hear the track called Save Me.
Watching you look out your window, why haven't you seen me by now? I have been waiting for you to uncover pieces of me that I've left at your door.
Promise until the next round. Can't see.